earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Shall we pray? Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. We ask it through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Now that it's February, Christmas seems awfully long ago, doesn't it? Seems in the ancient past. And we have chewed up 1/12 of this new year already, if you're keeping count. I've also noticed that this is a good time to kind of reflect on the Christmas past, especially Christmas reality, and what it seems to me that every year there's sort of a gap between Christmas expectations and Christmas reality. So I'm hoping that you are ready to face the reality of Christmas and that you've got things squared away with your credit card companies by now. That's the reality. Some of these realities were also raised in the Bible, in the writers of the Gospels. Some profound questions about Jesus coming into this world were raised. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew raises and wrestles with many of those questions by presenting the teaching of Jesus in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, before we dig into Jesus' teaching here, I want to ask a question. What's the worst Christmas gift you have ever received? Does it pop into your head? Do you remember? Or have you tried to forget it these many years? Well, I'm not talking about the gift you got at a white elephant gift exchange that you left under your chair before you walked out of the building. Oh, accidentally. Oops, I forgot that gift. I mean a real gift that you were given, but turned out to be really awful. Well, a couple years ago, Time Magazine ran a story written by Kit Yarrow that chronicled some of the worst gifts that readers had ever received. And one woman shared that for years her mother-in-law bought the other daughter-in-law in the family an expensive makeup or perfume. And then she proceeded to give this daughter-in-law the free gift that she got from the department store. Wonderful, generous lady. And there's another reader who reported that she received for Christmas one year a waffle iron from her husband. Now, you wouldn't think that would be too terrible, except what's implied in the gift that's given. It's, hey, I need some waffles for breakfast. And so, who's getting the gift? Another reader shared how they were given a manila file folder for Christmas. Now, we're talking just one manila file folder. But that seems kind of generous compared to one person who said their spouse tells them things will always be cheaper at the after Christmas sales. And then, as they wait and wait and wait, and here we are, the first week of February, they have never received a thing. And usually the comeback is, well, I owe you one. Well, we all know a bad Christmas gift when we see it or when we get it, but I suggest that it's more important to give the gift of yourself. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount, giving the gift of ourselves. Even as God gave the gift of his Son to the world, now Jesus is saying, let's give ourselves to the world. And this is how we do it, friends, to be salt and light in the world around us. That's how we give the gift of ourselves to the world. God knows, and we know, this is a very dark world filled with the darkness of crime and doubt and despair. And the light of the world, Jesus Christ, left the world when he ascended to heaven and left in his place the lesser lights of his disciples and followers. And that includes us. In the darkness, we grope for truth and meaning and purpose, and the world around us is groping for truth and meaning and purpose too. And I think one of the brightest lights to be shown comes from followers of Christ, comes from Christians who are to stand out as a light in the darkness. There's a tremendous need to hear Jesus' words to arouse and motivate those of us who claim to be Christian to let our light shine. Here's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. I like very much what William Barclay said about these words. I shared it with you. It's printed in your bulletin to take home today. He said, it may well be said that this was the greatest compliment that was ever paid to the individual Christian. For in it, Jesus commands the Christian to be what he himself claim to be. You know that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, following that, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And now he's saying, you are the light of the world. I think it's pretty straightforward talk. We're to speak like Jesus, we're to act like Jesus, we're to love like Jesus. The light emanates from the gospel message. Paul summarizes it in 1 Corinthians 2. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. I think here in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, be what you are. Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying you have the hope of becoming the light of the world one day if you measure up. And he's not saying if you let your light shine long enough and bright enough, then you will be qualified as the light of the world. He's saying right here, right now, you are the light of the world. Some of us are brighter, some of us are dimmer, but we are the light of the world. When he talks about salt, he says if salt loses its saltiness, well, it's no good. A Christian, however, has a quality like salt in that Christians can influence those around us. Light is different from darkness. If the light goes out, it too becomes like the darkness. But Jesus says, expend your light, expend yourself. A candle expends itself by burning its wick down to nothing. Turn on your light. Before entering each one of the tunnels of the PA Turnpike, and I've done it many times, there are four, I should know the names of all four of them or rattle them off because I've been through them so many times. There is a sign that says, turn on your headlights. Have you noticed that? Turn on your headlights. Well, there are artificial lights in the tunnels, overhead lights, but even so, it's a dark place on a cloudy day or in the middle of the night. If you go through the tunnels, it's still pretty dark. If you want to see the pavement ahead of you, turn on your headlights. Jesus is saying, if you want to see the path of righteousness that leads to God, turn on your light as well. Now, here's a question that kind of haunts me about being the light of the world. Is our light shining, and are we shining it in the right place at the right time? What I mean is, you don't need a bright light at midday when the sun is high in the sky, do you? If you do turn on a bright light, a searchlight, a flashlight, a lantern, or anything, that light gets lost. It doesn't really serve a purpose. But in the dark of the night, if you're on a street that has a street light out, or if you're out in the woods in the middle of the night, without a light, you are lost. I think Jesus is also saying, when he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, to let our lights shine as long as they last. You see, human life is really expendable, but we hang on to life. We try to prolong it and preserve it as long as possible. Most of us want to live as long as we can without getting old. But life, to be both worthwhile and to be a blessing, must be expended, must be used. And Jesus taught, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I think the same principle applies to us being the light. We need to expend the light that we have. We need to use it so that as a candle gives light until its wick is gone, is consumed, we continue to give light until our lives are gone. Ann Tyler, in her novel Morgan Passing, told the story of a middle-aged Baltimore man who passed through people's lives with astonishing poise and expertise in assuming roles of people around him. As the novel opens, the main character, Morgan, is watching a puppet show on the church lawn on a Sunday afternoon. And a few minutes into the show, a young man comes from behind the curtain of the stage and asks, "Is there a doctor here?" After 30 or 40 seconds with no response from the audience, Morgan stands up and deliberately approaches this young man and says, "What's the trouble?" The puppeteer's pregnant wife is in labor. Birth is imminent. Morgan puts the young couple in the back of his station wagon. They set off for Johns Hopkins Hospital. And halfway there, the husband says, "The baby is coming." So Morgan pulls the car over to the curb, and he sends the father-to-be to the corner to get a newspaper to substitute for towels and bed sheets, and the baby is delivered. He then drives to the emergency room of the hospital, sees the mother and baby safely onto a stretcher, and disappears. After the excitement dies down, the couple asks for Dr. Morgan so they can thank him. But no one at Johns Hopkins has ever heard of Dr. Morgan. They're puzzled and frustrated. They can't express their gratitude. And several months later, they're pushing the baby stroller down the street, and they see Morgan across the street. And so they call to him. They run over and greet him, showing him the healthy baby that he helped bring into the world. And they tell him how hard they looked for him and about the hospital's bureaucratic incompetence in helping them track him down. Well, in an unaccustomed gush of honesty, Morgan says to the couple, "I'm not really a doctor." And in fact, he runs a hardware store. But they needed a doctor, and being a doctor in those circumstances was not all that difficult. So he's been doing this his whole life long. He impersonates doctors and lawyers and pastors and counselors and presents himself as such. But he said, "You know, I would never try to pretend to be a plumber or impersonate a butcher. They would find me out in a second." Morgan knew something that most Christians learn fairly early in their life as a disciple of Jesus. The outward aspects, what the people around us see of our Christian life, can often be faked. it can be kind of phony. The problem, though, is that while we can get by within our community or even in our church, we can't get by with that for very long with God or with ourselves. We are the light of the world. Not we may someday be the light of the world, or if we measure up, we can become the light of the world. It's we are the light of the world, and we can't fake that. We can't be phonies about that. True, some of us are dimmer and some of us are brighter, but the light we have is the reflection of the light of Christ who dwells within us by faith. If our light is not seen in this dark world, it may mean that Christ is not in us or we are not in Christ. And if the light is in us, Jesus says, we will be seen for our good deeds and others will glorify our Father in heaven. So what I say to you, Christian friends, is shine. Shine your light, because we are the light of the world. Amen.